The church say amen. I thought I had a little more time to relish, but it's time to work. Amen. Let's begin with a word of prayer, will we? Shall we? Now, righteous and eternal God, our Father, Lord, we do thank you. We praise and bless you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace, Lord. Minister unto us the undeserving, as was already said in song. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon the hearts, minds, and ears of your people, that your blessed word, Lord, would reach that one, those ones whomsoever you have decreed to reach, in the degree of knowledge, understanding, comprehension, O Lord, that you again have decreed from all eternity. Blessing each one today, Lord, is our prayer, according to that which you have ordained for them. Bless your people everywhere. And this blessed word, this event, we thank you for our pastor, the man of God, and for all the accolades. We thank you for everything and it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians, the first chapter. I'm trusting, I'm believing that even all the young people have a Bible in hand or at their disposal, and they're getting ready to open it, especially if your last name starts with G. Amen. Praise God. The first chapter of Colossians, I want to take a look at verses. Let me get a designated reader first. Amen. Here he is, back in time. Ellen Nickerson. All right. Ellen Nickerson is going to be our designated reader today. And Elder, I'm going to focus as a context on the first chapter of Colossians, verse 21 through 29. As a context, but as an immediate text, Elder, I want you to read for us verses 24, 25, and 26 of the first chapter of Colossians. Colossians 1, verses 24 through 26. First from the King James, and then from the interlinear Greek text. If you don't have an interlinear Greek text, just follow along as the Lord deemed you able, and we will try to make explication or explain it as we go. Elder Reed.
From the King James Version, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake.
For his body's sake, and who is that?
Which is the church.
Which is the church.
Whereof I am made a minister.
I am made a minister. I didn't get this accolade or this position on my own, but I am made a minister
according to the dispensation of God,
or according to God, or according to the dispensation of God, what?
Which is given to me for you.
And now, it didn't say it was given to me and Peter or any of the 12. Paul said the dispensation of God, which was given unto me for what?
To fulfill the word of God.
The word of God. Read, Ella, start back with word of God, and without stopping for the period, read right in to the first three words of verse 26. To fulfill the word of God.
To fulfill the word of God.
Even
the mystery.
Paul is saying that the word of God that he was given the dispensation of is the mystery. Not mysteries, as in the Gospels, but the mystery. All right, what about the mystery?
Which had been hid.
Which had been hid.
From ages.
Mm-hmm.
And from generations.
And from generations.
But now is made manifest
mm-hmm.
to his saints.
And manifest means that which is revealed or shown or made known. That's what manifest is. We're going to be giving you some definitions today because we want you to have understanding. And we can do that. Definitions are useful in doing that. Finish that, Ella. Did you finish verse 26
mm-hmm.
in the King James? Now go to the interlinear Greek text.
From the Greek interlinear text, verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
Now I rejoice.
Now I rejoice.
In the sufferings.
In the sufferings.
On behalf of you.
You don't hear that much today. One rejoicing in sufferings. It looks like most of us nowadays, we're being taught that your best life now. Get it while you can. Go for it. Amen. But Paul said, I'm rejoicing in the sufferings, or my sufferings, what?
On behalf of you.
On behalf of you.
And fill up.
Fill up.
The things lacking.
The things lacking.
Of the afflictions.
Of the afflictions.
Of Christ.
Of Christ. Now, Christ did what no one else could do. In manifestation, he hung on Calvary's cross and died for our sins. I said manifestation. It was real, but it was manifestation on Calvary's cross. The actualization, you can find it corroborated in Revelation 13 and 8, for the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. Calvary, as real as it was, it was only manifestation depicting or showing of the eternal event. Manifestation in time. All right, read, Ellen.
In the flesh
mm-hmm.
of me.
In the flesh of me, these sufferings are.
On behalf of the body.
On behalf of the body.
Of him.
Of him.
Which is the church.
Which is the church. Paul was careful to always point out which church he was talking about. The church which is Christ's body. There was the kingdom church that was based in Jerusalem. That was not the church that Paul is talking about. There was the church in the wilderness which was made up of Jews. That is not the church that Paul is talking about. He's talking about the church, us, which are his body. Us, plural, which are his singular body.
Amen.
Amen. No two bodies. Amen. The one, the single body of Christ. Go ahead, Ella.
Of which became I
mm-hmm.
a minister according to the stewardship.
According to the stewardship. You could even say according to God. And I want to impress upon you today that not only this, but everything is according to God. In regards to what it is, where it happened, how it went down, everything is according to God. All right? According to the stewardship
of God.
All right? That word stewardship could be rendered the house rule, the administration. It could be rendered the dispensation. This dispensation that was committed unto me was according to God. Now we have a new dispensation or house rule or governing rule in Washington, D.C. Irregardless how we loved or wanted to cling to the old administration, it's over. We have a new administration, a new dispensation, a new stewardship, and a new house rule. Matter of fact, when one came in this administration, he soon went to move out certain things of the other dispensation. But this dispensation is according to God, and his stewardship was given to Paul. Not Paul and Peter. Not Paul and the 12. But it was given to Paul. Hallelujah. All right, read on, Ella.
Given to me for
given
you.
Given to me for you. Mm-hmm. Members of the body of Christ, Christ's body, for you, not Israel in the wilderness, not the kingdom saints in the book of Revelation, but those that are in and under the grace dispensation, which is lasting right now, and it's been in effect for the last now about over 2,000 years, the grace administration. When this one is moved out, another stewardship, just like in D.C., another stewardship the Lord will have in place. And it will be kingdom. We'll be out. So don't shake at the events in the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Don't tremble at those things that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. You won't be here. Amen. You will be where you always were. In the body of Christ. Yes. Manifested. All right, read on. Ella.
To fulfill the word
of
God.
To fulfill the word of God. And I'm going to bring that out more later.
The mystery.
The mystery.
Having been hidden.
That was hid. Now, the kingdom gospel was underlined by prophecy. Everywhere Jesus went, the things he did, the things he taught, it was mentioned according to the prophets or according to the prophecy. All in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Malachi, it was prophesied about this coming Messiah. It was underlined by prophecy. But the mystery was underlined nothing by nothing but the purpose of God. It was hidden. Yes. No one knew. Devil couldn't mess with it. And no man could mess with it. It was hidden until the Lord revealed it unto not the 12 again, amen, not Peter, but unto exclusively the apostle Paul,
oh,
for you, us members of the body of Christ. It was here. Nobody knew about it. Israel didn't know about it. Joshua didn't know about it. Joseph didn't know about it. The Lord Jesus didn't reveal it to any of his own. It was kept hidden until it was ready to be revealed. Did you finish that, Elliot?
No.
26? Okay, go ahead.
From the ages.
Yeah, from the ages.
And the generations.
And from the generations.
But now. Was manifested to the saints of him.
To the saints of him. Right there. You can stop there, Ella. I want you to keep this in your mind, or somewhat, some portions of it, or some parts of it in your mind as we minister. It's really a sentence. It surpasses being a title. It's really a sentence, but it's informational. God's eternal salvational plan, purpose, and provision for his beloved elect in the grace dispensation, in actualization, don't worry, we're going to explain these terms, in actualization in eternity by his decree, and manifestation of such in the time capsule. God's eternal salvational plan, purpose, and provision. You know the base word for provision, provide. What God has provided for us. But it was in the eternal sphere. It's only manifested, or you find out about it, or you are privy to it, in the time capsule, the created time capsule. Amen. From manifestation in time. Listen to this. It is a fact today that the average Christian, a child of God, believes that they contribute either partially or prominently to their present as well as their eternal welfare and well-being. The average child of God thinks that. They think they contribute. to their eternal salvation or well-being, and their present well-being. And it is equally, now we would say, stop right there and say, now you're going to tell me I went to school all those years, I trained all that much, and I don't contribute to my well-being? Come on, preacher. Well, stick with me. And it is equally true that few understand, realize, believe, or are willing to admit and confess that they are indeed, brace yourself, a sinner. Now, you notice the twitch you got when I said we're sinners? That's what I'm talking about. Few are willing to admit it. And fewer still know and understand or be willing to admit that they are not only depraved, but totally depraved. Now, I'm going to explain this one right now. We won't have to wait for later. Meaning, when we say totally depraved or depraved, it means that we are bad, not good. That we are wrong, not right. That we are corrupt, not just. And that we are wicked and not wonderful. And the very opposite. We are the very opposite of God, who alone, that is, in manifestation, in the flesh, in the time capsule, we are the very opposite of God in this here. The scripture is going to prove it. The opposite of God, who alone is good, just, faithful, and true, as was expressed in the song. Now, when we hear, when we bring this, I've got to somehow make restitution attitude. When we bring this, I've got to help God out, which is called synergism attitude. When we bring this, I've got to do something to get in attitude. I either got to be baptized and be baptized a certain way. I got to either walk up and shake the preacher's hand. I got to repeat the sinner's prayer. I got to speak in tongues, and somebody got to hear me and say, and they got to confirm and say, yeah, he got it. When we bring this, I've got to do my best to just make it in this mindset to the center of our thinking.
I hear you.
It's no wonder that in life we are scared, shaky, unsure, nervous, and anxious about our lives now and our eternal salvation. We're unsure about it when we bring those ingressions in or those attitudes in. It is also a fact that whatever we think about salvation will filter right down into our everyday life. If we're shaky about salvation, we're going to be shaky about life. If we're unsure about salvation because we have placed it, that is, in our thinking, in the sphere of time, and we think that it's dependent upon what we do or don't do, no wonder we're going to be shaky. Sometime we're up, and sometime, most of the time, we're down. Praise God. We'll be shaky about the things of this life. We'll be shaky about the situations that we encounter in this life. We'll be shaky about the problems that will surely come in this life. And here's one. We'll be really shaky about the events of this life. The things that go down, whether they go down in this country or abroad, whether they go down in our neighborhood or somewhere else, we will be shaky. If we're shaky about our salvation, if we think that it's dependent upon what we do, we're going to be shaky about all things of life. Well, got good news for you. That's what gospel is. Good news. Good news. Let's all relax. Let's all exhale and take a rightly divided, cutting it straight. We're going to take to us that which is ours. And if we go to other portions of Scripture, we are going to go there only for corroboration. Corroboration means to confirm or strengthen or lend strength to the main testimony. We are going to go to the properly exegeted. Exegesis means literary interpretation. When you're talking about Bible exegesis, we are talking about, just what that prefix implies, ex, out. We are talking about digging out, searching out the actual conveyance of the Scriptures. Not just what they say, but we are going to find out through exegesis what the Word of God truly says. And we're going to take an informed look at God's eternal plan, provision, and purpose for His beloved. I like that it came out in the song. Not necessarily that word, but God loving us. His beloved elect in the grace dispensation and in actualization in His eternal decree or by His eternal decree and the manifestation of it or the showing of it right down in our daily life. What God has decreed in eternity, we're going to look at the manifestation of it in time or the time capsule. Colossians 1:21. And you, Paul writes, once or formerly being, having been. We got the what we call the perfect, this is exegesis here. We have the perfect tense there. The perfect tense means an action that was completed in the past. Perfect tense. With ongoing results. As long as ongoing goes, the results come down to there. If it was yesterday, ongoing stop, the results would have stopped. But today is today. The past completed fact and action. And the results coming right down now. And there's something else here. We have the passive voice. Now you all know what it means to be passive. You know what it means for someone to be devilish. Passive means not that which you are doing, but that which is done to you. The perfect tense and the passive voice. Paul writes, and you once being, having been alienated. You know what being alienated was, shunned, and so forth. And that ain't all. Not only were we alienated and we didn't have nothing to do with it, passive voice, he said that we were enemies in the mind by the works, the evil. We were alienated and enemies in our mind by the works, evil. And we didn't have anything to do with it because in the flesh, we weren't there when the action was completed. It was not started in the past. It was completed in the past. It was done in eternity. That means somebody had to do it. If we weren't there, it had to be someone that was there in eternity that did it. And that someone, if we weren't there in the flesh, that someone was none other than God. And you formerly having been alienated, God alienated us in His decree. In His decree. Let me tell you what a decree is. A decree is to order by authority. To speak or command into existence or reality. No man living or ever have lived can do that. We had one, though, in the book of Daniel, the 3rd chapter, that thought he could do it. He let some of his counselors talk him into setting up a graven image. And this was for the movie 300. This was the Babylonian Empire. That movie depicted the Persian Empire, which superseded the Babylonian Empire. And they set up this graven image and said, made a law. They called it a decree. That anybody, when they hear different sounds of music, do not fall down of all the king's people and those whom he reside over. Do not fall down and worship this golden image. They shall be thrown the same hour into a lake of burning fire. A furnace of burning fire. So there were three whom God had prepared that didn't do it. And they were thrown into the fire. But the fire had no hurt over them. And this man, seeing that, jumped up, ran to him, and said, "Come out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for truly your God is God in the heaven and the earth." And he said, "The Lord your God have changed the king's word." It was not a decree. At best, it was an edict. Only God can make a decree. Our sitting presidents can't make a decree. They can give edicts. Edicts. Amen. They can give that. But when another one takes their place, he can change it. If he put out or die out, it can be changed. The decrees of God stand. They cannot be changed.
I hear you.
What he has decreed in eternity,
Oh, yes. It
is.
Albert.
It is. That's it. That is why, Ned helped me understand this.
Oh, glory.
That is why at the burning bush, when Moses asked the Lord, "Whom shall I say sent me to Pharaoh?" The Lord said, "I am, have sent me unto you." The Eternal One has sent me to you. The present. Eternal now. Do you know the eternity hasn't gone anywhere? Nowhere. God created time, and we call it a time capsule. It exists within eternity. Let me explain eternity to you. Let me open this up a wee bit. Eternity or eternal means without beginning or end. It means everlasting. It means timeless. You know what less means? Not. No time is in eternity. Time has no significance in eternity. I know we have made time synonymous with eternity in our thinking, in the preaching that has been going on for years. But time has no place in eternity. It's insignificant. No matter how long it is. I don't care how many zeros you put behind a one. Or two. Or whatever. Time has no place in eternity. It is unchangeable. the things of in eternity are unchangeable. That's why the Lord said, I am. And the Lord Jesus, when he was dealing with those Jews, and he finally told them, say, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and when he saw it, he was glad. They said, man, you ain't even 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. Absolute. Eternal now. Eternity is right now. We are just not manifested, shown, realized, revealed in it. We are revealed in the time capsule. Anybody got to get up and go to work Monday? Time capsule. We're not revealed, manifested in eternity yet. But just put some time on it. Hallelujah. All right. Now, verse 22. We have, as it said in verse 21, an enemies in the mind, enemies in the mind, in the works, evil. In the works, we are evil. 22 says, we have an adjectival adverb, noun. And we have what you call, not a coordinating conjunction, but we got a superordinating conjunction. That means that what was just said, this here, supersedes it. Yeah, we were having been alienated, and that was of God. But now, having been indicative aorist, indicative in the Greek language, in which what we call the New Testament was written in, and it was no accident that it was written in Greek. God is the doer of that, according to God. Indicative is a fact. Aorist tense means a past completed, finished, done act. Aorist. Having been reconciled. So what is saying here now? Perfect tense, past completed action with the results coming down to the present. God did it. Indicative aorist is a fact that this was a completed act in the past. We having been reconciled. It was done when we came on the scene. That tells me, and God did that. So, on the one hand, we were decreed a sinner. And we wasn't even there. On the other hand, we were reconciled. And guess what? We still wasn't there. Hallelujah. Now let me, this will fluff you here. Let me tell you what reconciliation means. It means God having brought about in eternity, or he accomplished between he and his elect in a union of peace by and through the efficacious, I'll explain that, shed blood of Jesus in eternity and manifested on Calvary's cross. Efficacious is from effect. It means producing or the ability to produce a desired result. And in the sense of God, it is having produced. Hallelujah. A desired result in eternity, and it manifested where he placed us in flesh in time. Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank God.
So, we were decreed a sinner and a saint by the saying of God, the decree of God. Oh. Get me Romans. I think somebody needs further proof. Get me Romans 3 and 23. I want you to read it from the King James first. You can go there with me. If you got paper and pencil, feel free. You know what to do. Romans 3:23. King James Version. And then the interlineal. I said we were sinners before we got here, before we commit, before we stole any apples, or in my case, any mangoes. I'm from South Florida. Before we stole any cherries, grapes, or grapefruit, we were sinners. You're a sinner by not what you do, but by the decree of God in eternity. And that just explained the perfect tense. We were alienated. Didn't I just explain the past tense? We were reconciled. Past completed action in eternity. You got it, Elder?
Yes, I do.
Go for it.
For all
have sinned. Start again, Elder. Somebody might have missed us. I heard pages.
For all have sinned.
Have sinned.
And come short.
I know you meant well. But it just came up short.
Of the glory of God.
Of the glory or praise or honor or pleasing of God. Now this may shock you. Oh, but the adult Sunday school class. This will shock you. Ella, read it from the interlineal Greek, which is from the critical text, which is one of the earliest manuscripts, or the earliest known manuscripts from the original Greek, excuse me. Read it, Ella, how it reads in the Greek text. Go.
For all sin.
Now, let me tell you. That is an aorist indicative. It's a past, completed, done, finished fact in the past, in eternity, that God decreed all sinners. And you had never yelled at your mother, your father, your teacher, or nobody. All sinned, and what else?
And come short of the glory of God.
And come short of the glory of God. This was decreed. On the one hand, you were reconciled in a union of peace by God in eternity. On the other hand, he decreed us sinners in manifestation, in the flesh, in the time capsule. And also, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit, I know your Bible, if you got the King James, say, are we all baptized? But for by one spirit, or in one spirit, were we baptized into one body from eternity. Aorist tense, past completed action. In the one saying or the one decree of God, he spoke us saved and beloved, and also sinners and depraved. It's in the nature. All sin. He decreed all of Adam's posterity with a sin nature. From the time, and that was decreed, that Adam ate, and God told him, in the day you eat, you should surely die. When he ate, he disobeyed God. Sin was manifested. It already was. It was manifested. It was shown. It was peekaboo, revealed. Hallelujah. All right. Now, having been reconciled, in the body of the flesh of him, is speaking about manifestation here. Paul is expressing manifestation of Christ's death and shed blood on Calvary's cross. The flesh of him, through the death, presented you again. Aorist tense. Past completed action. And it gets better. It's just going up. He presented you. Paul speaking, he would be first person singular. This is, you is the second person plural. All of us that are members of his body. He presented us consecrated. And some of us have been fasting and crying and slobbing and praying for years trying to get consecrated or holy. You were created consecrated.
Come on now.
You were created holy.
Yes.
You were created separated. The mere fact that the Lord chose us, I said God's eternal salvational plan, purpose, and provision for his beloved elect, those that are chosen or were chosen, the mere fact that he chose us out of the mass of humanity that would be manifested, praise God, it shows our favor and it sanctified us. It set us apart.
Yes.
It consecrated us. So holiness, consecration, is not wearing your dress way down or wearing a bland suit or wearing your hair short as mine. It has nothing to do with it. It's the choice of God separating you and calling us his. He separated us. Consecrated. Not only that, he presented us faultless, without blemish. You don't know what I've done. Without blemish, faultless, blameless. I know what you've done. I know what you're thinking. Blameless. He, the Almighty, the last and the first say so, presented us faultless, blameless. And you're going to love this one to pieces. Beyond reproach. You know how we like to sit around sometime and talk about her or him? You know, one gender is more apt to this than the other gender, but the other gender can't say nothing because they got it bad too. Beyond reproach.
Amen.
Where? Before or in the presence of him. Hallelujah. In aorist tense, past completed action, he did it all before he created anything, including the capsule of time. And Adam was first, and we way down the line. He did it. He did it before we were manifested in the flesh. Verse 24. Or rather 23. If, or if indeed. Now listen. Don't let, just because if is attached there, don't let that throw you. You have already been cleared, faultless, blameless. Don't let this if it's a conjunction coordinating. Don't let that throw you. There are no conditions in grace or the grace covenant or the grace dispensation. There can't be. You can't get a condition in grace. And you can't get pure grace in a condition. The two are mutually exclusive, like oil and water. Praise God. Now, just, I know you know, but just in case you're a little foggy, let me tell you what grace means. Grace means, I tell you what grace is not. Grace is not what we consider to be that God just help us out a little bit to make it along in our way. That's not grace.
Amen.
Grace is God did it all and we did none of it. Grace means undeserved kindness. I heard that in song. It means void of any and all merit. No merit. It means a gift, a benefit. Now, I know we got the conception of gift all mixed up, because at Christmas time and birthdays, we say, well, I'm going to give a gift. Well, let's think about it. If we either give it to our mailman, we either give it to our principal over our children, we either give it to our family, we either give what is called a gift to our friends, we give it to our block club president, we put ourselves in. But remember, we were alienated and enemies in our mind, and God graced us. He did it. He did it all. So if indeed, remaining in, not you remain, it's not up to you. It's out of your hands. This was already done. And remaining in the faith, guess what the next one is? Founded. It means to be established firmly. It's in the perfect tense. And guess what voice it's in? Passive. We didn't do it. Past completed action with the results you see right now sitting there. And you had hands off to do with it. Perfect tense, passive voice. And firm or settled and not shifted. That's the present tense. But guess what voice is in? Passive. You didn't do it. You didn't cause to not be shifted. It was done to you. It was decreed unto you. Hallelujah. Not shifted from or away from the hope of the good news. Now, Paul's not talking about the good news that Israel had. He's not talking about the good news that the Lord Jesus brought unto those whom he preached to. Matter of fact, that's not our good news. Oh, red flag, preacher. You mean tell me what Jesus was saying is not our good news? No, it was not. You remember the Gentile woman that was, I forget where she was from, and her daughter had an ailment, and she came to Jesus, said, Lord, help me. And the disciples said, send her out of here. Get rid of her. And the Lord didn't say anything. And she asked him, Lord, help me. My daughter is grievously vexed. You'll find this, I think, in the 15th chapter of Matthew. Jesus told her, as a Gentile, it is not fitting to take the children's bread or blessings and give it to the dogs. And she said, but Lord, help me. And he made it plainer. He made it plainer. He said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whom we are, did not minister to Gentiles. That was not his ministry. He was prophesied as Israel's Messiah or deliverer of Israel. Even though she was a Gentile, she was blessed. The thrust of his ministry was not to Gentiles. But he reserved that unto Paul. Or better, rather, he decreed it unto Paul. Hallelujah. That was his ministry. Of which, the mystery of which I, Paul said, was made a minister. Praise God. All right. Not be shifted from the hope of the good news or the gospel which you heard. They didn't hear the law. They heard the gospel of the grace of God from Paul. The gospel which you heard, the proclaimed in all. And again, that's an aorist passive. That's an aorist passive. Past completed action. And Paul didn't have anything to do with his proclaiming the gospel. You know what Paul was doing. The very name Saul, before it was changed to Paul, it spread terror unto God's people. At that time, the believing Jews in the Lord Jesus. Paul didn't have a clue. He was killing them, jailing them, hounding them, harassing them, dogging them, following them, murdering them, and he didn't even have a clue that the aorist tense was over his head in the passive voice. Didn't even have a clue. I could bring that right on down to me. I was doing it and 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 never even knew that I was the chosen of the Lord. Didn't have a clue until the Lord manifested it in me. And it was a long time before I learned that I didn't get it. It was given to me. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord. In all creation, under the heaven, you got in the heavenlies, which is spiritual, in Christ Jesus. As it says in Ephesians 1 and 3, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who having blessed us, aorist tense, in every spiritual blessing, or rather each and every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You know why we're having so much trauma in life? Why we're having so much stress in life? We're looking to the wrong locale for our blessing. We're looking to make it in money, in prestige, in all the things of the earth, and it might be decreed, and it might not. And if it's not, we are frustrated.
Oh, man.
Hallelujah. Somebody way across the world invent a missile or something, and they say, boom, we jump out of skin almost. Everything is fearing us. We're looking in the wrong locale for stability and for blessing.
I hear you.
Our blessing is in the heavenlies,
yes,
in Christ Jesus.
Right.
How many of them? Each and every. Hallelujah.
Yes.
It's where God is, where we abide in eternity in Christ Jesus. You can find that in the 16th and 17th verse of this first chapter of Colossians. Creation is not over there and God over here. Creation is in God.
Amen.
According to Colossians, the same chapter, 16th and 17th verse. And in him all things consist, or they are held together. Everything according to God. Every happening stance, every event, every what we call an accident, every triumph, every what we call a failure, everything is according to God. The events of the other day, the 17-year-old girl, according to God. Don't shake. Don't shimmy me. It's according to eternal intent. Here's the problem. We prioritize, put first, in first place, the things and the events and the aspirations of time. We do that. God prioritizes eternity. If you leave out of here, I don't care if it's painless or painful. God forbid that it be painful, but sometimes we do. If you leave out of here, you are immediately manifested in eternity in Christ. Immediately.
Oh, glory.
Why would Paul write, for me to live? For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Hallelujah. Absent from the body equals present with the Lord. I was going to save this for the ending, but I'm going to bring it on now because time is expiring. When we expire, not if. Let's be real.
Amen.
You hear him preaching about everything.
Amen.
Money, finance, houses, lands, riches, life easy, succeeding, preaching about everything. All of it, every bit of it, is going to evaporate, fade, and come to naught or come to an end. You've heard Pastor say it. The job we're working now, pretty soon, it won't be. I did 34 years at Ford Motor. Before that, 2 years at Chrysler. I had to give it up. What I'm putting around with now, I'm going to have to give that up. The life that I'm manifestedly living in the flesh and the kinfolk and the relatives and the likes and the dislikes, we're going to give it all up.
Amen.
And we're going to be manifested where we always were in Christ.
Oh,
death, saints of God.
Thank God.
Death is only a tool used of God to translate in consciousness his beloved elect from one locale and environment into eternity or the eternal environment. That's all death is a tool used of God to focus us or manifest us out of the time capsule and into eternity. And if Brother Paul's testimony is to be believed, my God, he said, I was caught up unto the third heavens and I saw things that were unutterable. Paul didn't really have the words to explain them. And if he did, who would believe him? Somebody here today might not believe me. But the aorist tense is the aorist tense. It's not going to change. It's not going to be present tense or future tense. You're not going to somehow make it in. You're not going to come up around the rough side of my, no matter which side you go. We were in Christ from eternity. All that's God's decree. All that awaits is manifestation of it. And God gonna use the tool of the death angel or death to close us out of one conscious awareness, and we're gonna wake up like, whoa! Woo! Hallelujah. That's all it is. Amen. Paul said, it's far better for me to go and be with Christ, but it's more needful for you that I remain to continue preaching this mystery, to confirm, strengthen, settle the saints in their most holy faith. That's all that God is doing by the grace gospel. Romans 8:1 tells you plainly that there's no condemnation to you. Read it. Try not to read it. If you read it from the King James, the part say, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that in Christ Jesus. Gross out the other part. It's not in the earliest manuscripts. Who walk not according to the flesh but the Spirit. That's a condition. It can't be a condition in grace. Grace means no merit. No condition. That's law. When the Lord told Moses, come up into the mountain and receive the laws on tables of stone. And if, he started out with, if you keep my commandments, then, and only then, I put that only then in there, but that's what it means, then will you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the other people of the earth, for all the earth is mine. There are no conditions in grace. We were saved before we got here in manifestation.
Amen.
That stands.
Thank God.
That Nebuchadnezzar's decree couldn't, because it wasn't a decree. But the Almighty's decree stands. We were chosen in him. We are blessed. whatever becomes our lot or our course, God has decreed it, ordained it. Cheer up, saints. Stop stressing. Stop it. Let's stop it. It's no need for it. We are eternally secure in the secure environment of Christ in the eternal realm. God bless you.